gospel this morning, chapter 17, a familiar story, but something I've wrestled with all week because we were shoveling snow. We had about 14 to 17 inches of snow on Wednesday, and I was outside shoveling and praying and asked God, and this thing kept coming back to my mind, and I kept wrestling with it. I said, no, it's got to be something else. It's got to be another direction, but I cannot get away from this morning. And I'm going to read a bit of scripture, and you can be seated for after the first part. I'm going to cover some additional ground here. Again, a very, very familiar lesson or story in the Bible here, but I've seen something in here, and God reminded me and dealt with me on this week. So we're going to trust God and His Spirit this morning. I want to ask Brother Woods to ask the blessing over the reading of the Word today.
Hallelujah. Father God, it's our honor. Assembled in your name today. We are gathered in your name. We recognize your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We recognize that you are in the midst of us. We honor you. We honor, Lord, your very presence, and we are grateful for it. We ask, Lord, that you'll anoint our brother to minister the word today. Strengthen him, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost just fill him with the richness and the power. God, illuminate our minds. Speak to us where we live. Talk to us where we live today, dear God, and help us. Lord, we believe you've given the word to your servant. We just ask, God, that it will be, Lord, brought home to our hearts by the Holy Ghost, so that it may be applied and we may live it, Lord. God, and we may do that which you've called us to do. Lord, get strength and unction today. Only you can give. How is it in vain, Lord, if your spirit is absent? Let your power be upon us afresh for your name's sake and glory. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory. Chapter 17. Beginning at verse number 1. Now the Philistines gathered together in their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah. And that's an important part of this story. Those little words right there, it belongs to Judah, is an important part of this story. And pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ephes-Danim, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Can we jump to verse 16? And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. You may be seated this morning. Don't know how we want to title this, don't know exactly how I wound up, but what I wrote down last night as I was looking at this again was vision and victory. Vision and victory. And I know this has been preached and read, but there's some things in here that I think that we have overlooked. There's some details in this story There's some things in here that we've heard it from a child, many of us. There's some things in here that if we recognize, well, we talk about what a great God we serve. We talked about what a great thing that He did for us, what salvation was. But He did it that we might own it. He did it that He would give it to us and that then we would exercise it. Not that, as the brother talked so well this morning, not that we just sit there and wait for God to do everything. He's already done everything. He's already made our provision. He's been our salvation. He is our daily help. He is our daily bread. But He has laid before us armaments. He has laid before us examples. He has set before us witnesses that we might know what to do. So He has laid it out for you and I. And then we must then take up that which He has given us. We must then bear that which He has given to us. And then we must engage in our daily warfare. We do have an enemy. We have an enemy that is real. We have an enemy that is not to be toyed with. We have an enemy that is wiser than this flesh and this mind will ever be. My pastor liked to say it often. He has a drawing room where he's drawing up plans for you and I. He's laying plans in effect. And thank God the Holy Ghost comes in time after time. And He has to take those plans and rip them up and cast them on the floor. Because what he thought he could do, God interrupted. God interrupted. God's changing the plans of the enemy today. But what we have to do, we've got to know our God. We've got to know our God. Not know about Him, but know Him right here. He's got to be in our spirit. He's got to be in our life. He's got to be in our motion. He's got to be in the things that we think about and that would surround you and I. This day, this first of a faithful morning, it says here that they were gathered together in Shoko, which belonged to Judah. You got to know what belongs to you. The devil does have his territory, but we have ours. We have ours. God draws the boundaries around you and I. The devil doesn't. God drew the boundaries around the nation. The devil doesn't. I was there with Brother Woods the other day, and many years ago, I was teaching the teenage boys class, and we were talking about several things, and I set before them a little globe. I told a couple of them, I said, find Israel. And a couple of them spun around, and a couple of them could not find it. And I said, here, let me point it to you. I just covered it up. On a basketball-sized globe, roughly, you can take the end part of your finger and cover up that little nation. But see, God didn't settle for that out of the dominion of the devil. God said, I'm going to draw me that out. And out of that place, I will conquer the world. He didn't settle for the place that the devil let him have a little spot. He said, no, from a little, I will conquer it all. He said, I'm going to draw the boundaries. I'm going to send you in there. And it will be sufficient for my will. It'll be sufficient for my plan. And out of that, the world will become his. We are his, and it's going to be ours one day. And the whole world, all the economies, everything revolves around a little speck on the globe right now. But the reason it does, it belongs to God. It belongs to God, and the devil hates it. So here we have the enemy showing up in an area that the Israelites say, hey, this is our ground. That's the first thing Saul and the army forgot was, this was ours. I didn't design it. I didn't fight for it. God said, this is mine. God gave me a mind and He wants me to own it. God gave me a will and He wants me to own it. He doesn't want the devil to own my will. He doesn't want the devil to own your mind. He doesn't want the devil to fight with you. He knows he will come. But there's a day and an hour we've got to realize this is mine and you're a trespasser. This is mine. This is mine. And the only people that were to live there were those that were the people of God. His chosen people. There's a place of peace and of joy. And in all the battles that we must face in our lives, there's a retreat that we can go to. to that's holy you and God. There's got to be a place in your mind. There's got to be a place in your spirit where we are not overrun. We are not overrun by the enemy. I've got a safe place. I fight warfare. We have battles. We have trials and tests. But there's got to be a place that in my mind and my spirit that I've got to say, hey, no, devil, this is mine. This is mine. This is mine. And you've given it to me, and I must fight for my peace. I must fight to reserve that which God gave to me. The leaders were there. It must have been quiet. If you could have stepped back from that battle and seen an army on one side and an army on the other side, it must have been quite a scene coming there that day. These thousands of men coming together for to fight. But out of that, who had the first word? And many times, we think the devil has the first word. Goliath walks out there. First thing that men do is measure their enemy. We're flesh. And the first thing many times we want to do is measure our enemy. We want to measure what he's bringing against us. So we have a full description here. And we've all read it many times. His great height, his great breadth, the armor of mail that he wore, the shield that he did not carry. He carried his spear. He wanted to be agile. There was a man before him that carried his shield. And the great armaments that he had. And the voice that boomed across that valley. He didn't have a microphone. He had nothing but his voice. And there before the armies of Israel stood flesh and blood. With a booming voice, he denied them. He decried them. He made fun of them and challenged them. The first thing that he did wrong was he said, "You're servants of Saul." That's what many times we do. Well, we're followers of Brother Woods or Brother Powers of this man or this, and we're aligned under a man. Hey, God's given us men, thank God, good men, have leaders and designated them rightfully. But we cannot ever say we're servants of man. We cannot lower ourselves. We are servants of an almighty God. You allow yourself to be a servant of man, and that man is one that you're going to rely on to guard you. You allow yourself to drop down to be a servant of the flesh, you're going to rely on the flesh to be your guardian. You're going to rely on your strength, your wisdom, and what you are able to do. And man, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to rely on yourself. He wants you to rely on your wisdom. He wants you to rely on your strength and the pride that's in this flesh. That's what he wants. Why? Because he knows it. He's walked across that territory millions of times. He's conquered lives. He's brought men and women down because he knows every avenue of the flesh. And if he can get you to rely on your will and your own strength, then he knows the battle has been won. Don't care if you've been saved a week. Don't care if you've been saved 50 years. This flesh's opinion and this flesh's desires will take you away from what God wants you to do. This mind will mislead you. This mind will miss something. This mind will miss something that the enemy is trying to do to you. Oh, he's a long-term planner. He is a long-term planner. He's been cast out a long time. He knew Calvary was coming a long time ago. And he labored and he fought and he set plans to destroy that bloodline. He's a long-term planner, but he's a second-rate planner to my God and my Savior. He's a created being. Get in your mind, your enemy is not flesh and blood. He is spirit. But he is a created being under the hand of God. God made him. God set him up and God cast him down. You see, the devil knows what his limits are. Sometimes we don't. We elevate the devil many times to a place much higher than he is. We allow him to come to us many times in places where he should not be allowed to come to us, because he does not allow. He does not have the privilege to walk through the territories of your mind on his will. He does not. God owns the territory of your heart. God is supposed to own the territory of your mind. And if we're not diligent and hold on to that which we've been given, we're going to start elevating our enemy and allowing him ground in our life that he does not deserve and does not own. He owns a lot, but we cannot cede one inch of our life to him. So there he is out there in the middle of this battle. There he is out there. And he is decrying them. He is making fun of them. He's laid down a challenge. And if we're not careful, we'll gloss over verse number 16. Where it says 40 days. Every morning, there was that voice like the wake-up call. Send me a man. I denounce your God. I defy the nation of Israel. All day long they waited. And there came that voice in the evening. Send me a man. Can you realize, have you thought about that 40 days? The army was camped out on one side. And there was their leader, that great man Saul. Half-hearted and dysfunctional at this point. There he was, the man that was to be their guardian, the man that was to be their leader, listening to flesh and blood deny the God of heaven, mock him, mock his armies, day after day and week after week. There those armies stood, stalled in their labor. These weren't some farm boys. These were men of war. This was an army that knew victory, knew fighting, knew what to do. But there they stood, stalled day after day and night after night, because that which they thought was their leader, surely they were looking for Saul to stir them up. Surely they were looking for Saul to come down and run amongst the troops and stir up in their faith and stir up their strength. And they're saying, where's our king? Well, their eyes weren't high enough. What they should have been saying is, there is our king. There is our king. Hey, our king is still on the throne today. Hey, we have men that come to preach. Thank God we do. But we've got to get in the place that you and I, we're warriors. We're battlefield veterans. We've known about victory. And we should know what to do when the enemy comes against us like a flood. It's good to have friends. It's good to have an army. It's good to come to church and find the power of prayer amongst many. But I want to tell you today, if you're not able to find God by yourself, you're not going to make it. If you can't find God and feel him when you're alone and you've got to need him, then you're not going to make it. It's good for us to come together. It is great for us to come together. I don't know where everyone is this morning. I've not been here before. But I can just say we're flesh and blood. I can say some may be high in the Lord today. I can say here and say there may be some struggling that the enemy has pounded your mind for the last little while. There's a reason God would not let me shake this from my spirit. And you've been dealing with it. And you've been talking about it. And you've been maybe counseling with your friends on what we should do. I want to tell you, there was an army. And after the first day and the second day and the 10th day and the 11th day, they started turning to their friends. They started turning to one another and say, hey, what are we going to do? What are we going to do here? We're in a bind. We're in a fix. We cannot defeat this army. They've looked at him and listened to him day after day. They've seen that spear shining. They've heard that voice rumbling. And they've seen the fear in the eyes of their comrades. They watched them. And worst of all, they've watched their leader. Saul should have been the man that went out and say, if I die today, I die today. But you will not defy my Lord. You will not defy the God of Israel. Oh, church, where are the leaders today? Where are the men today? Where are the women of old today that will stand up to the world, that will stand up to the onslaught of the enemy and say, no, you're not going to come here. If I die, let me die. But I'm going to fight. I'm going to labor. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to see victory. Where are they today? Oh, we get on the young people a lot. We can. It's easy to do. Why are they doing this or why are they doing that? Sometimes it's because they're looking at those around them and they see heads that are hanging and they see those that instead should be saying, I know what to do. They're saying, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, this world is so awful. I just don't know how they're going to make it. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I fought the devil all week, and I just don't know how I'm going to make it. What are the young people supposed to think?
Yeah.
I hope about a God that's alive. We're in our hands. What am I going to do? There's still an offer. There's still a word. If I can't find an offer, I can find my knees and take them. If I can find it at work. For every cry that goes here, every time someone has interceded, laid down their life for him, he has interceded. And they have went forward in the Lord. This is not a time or an era or a year for lazy Christianity. This is not a time to sit and watch and wait for somebody to do something. I want to tell you, you're somebody. And you're the somebody that somebody's looking at. You're the somebody that they said, hey, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? How are they going to handle this? How are they going to pray? Where are they going to go? Are they going to let down or are they going to stand? 40 days go by and Saul has done nothing but allow the enemy to pound the life out of his army. That's all he's done. The courage out of himself. If your life is full of indecision, you're not going to go anywhere. The devil is the author of confusion. He'll throw everything out there in front of you and I. The tree that we don't need to have, he'll make sure that we see it. He'll tell us that's an option. He'll tell us that that's an option for you can entertain yourself for a little while. And if you're so shaky, and if you're so flimsy, that you're constantly analyzing all the options in front of you, and you're this way, and you're that way, I'm telling you the devil's going to beat the life right out of you. He's going to beat your mind. Hey, if you're in a natural fight, and you see a weak spot, what are you going to do in your enemy? You're going to hit it. And if you hit it once, you're going to hit it again. And if he's still standing there, you're going to hit it again. And if he hasn't guarded it, you're just going to hit it again until he's done. The devil knows what your weaknesses may be. But you don't you know? You do too. If you're honest with yourself, you're going to know where the devil's hit you before. You're going to know the things that have distracted your eyes and your mind and your spirit. And then with responsibility, you're going to say, oh God, fix me. Holy Ghost, fix me. Holy Ghost, come in. Wash me anew. Reinforce that which is weak. Touch me there again, Lord, and make me strong. I'm not just strong for me. I've got to be strong for those around me. I've got to be strong for my church, my family. I've got to be strong for those, the sinners that I tell how good God is and how faithful is His and how unfailing He is and how good He's been to me. If I get bad news next week and all they see me is dragging my chin along the ground, What they're going to say is, where is his God? We have to guard our testimony. We have to guard our testimony. That when the enemy comes, he will show up. There are mornings that he will show up out of the clear. Unexpected. He will come to us. We will have struggles and trials. He does have plans to take each and every one of you out. But when he shows up, we've got to already know what we're going to do about it. Oh, we've got to have a settled mind and a settled spirit. Not going to read it all, but we know along this 40th day, there was a little boy that showed up by his direction of his father. He said, here, take this cheese out and feed him. Bring me back a report. Tell me how the battle's going. Tell me how the army of the Lord's advancing. Give me some good news. David rides up, takes a look around, and starts hearing the rumblings among the camp. What in the world is happening here? Stalled, unmoving. This is supposed to be an army. David might have arrived there in an actual thing. Hey, we may have lost a few men if they've been gone this long, but I'm sure we're fighting. I'm sure we're engaging. They're our enemy, and we know how to fight them. And there he stood, got there that morning. Nobody had moved. Not a sword had been drawn. What are you doing? What's going on here? We're crying, but are we praying? We're fussing about what the devil's doing, but have we prayed? We're angry that the devil has laid latches and got his grips on our young people and are trying to turn our churches, but what are we doing? Does it bother you in the mornings? Does it bother you in the evenings when the voice of the enemy is still in earshot? Does it really bother you enough that to see what's going on around you, what the devil is tearing at our churches and our families at? Is it bothering you enough to say, I've had a sword out today. I've had a shield up today for my neighbor, for my loved one, for my pastor? David could have sat there. Hey, he was not an enlisted man. He did not have a sword and he did not have a rank. He was some young man. But what he did have were experiences with the living God. He was fresh and new. He didn't have to have someone tell him what to do. There was a God that saved him from the paw of the lion. There was a God that had already saved him from the paw of the bear. He was there by himself on a hillside. He didn't have an army with him, but he had a God that gave him the strength that he needed. David never writes about measuring the bear. We don't know how wide he was or how tall he was. We don't know how big that lion was or how loud his roar was. All we hear about is how big his God was and what happened to him when the enemy came in to take that which he was set as guardian over. What we hear from David was, I slew them. I slew them. My God saved me from them. Stop talking so much about how big the devil is and start talking about how big God is, how eternal our God is, how unwavering our God is. That should be what's on our lips. That should be what's in our mind. I'm tired of analyzing the devil. I know he's a defeated foe. I know that there's an end coming to him. And when he is locked up on that last day, we can shout on his tomb. We can shout in heaven. He can hear our footsteps. Steps, because one of these days his end will be sure. That's who's coming against you today. You're wrestling. That's who is attacking you today. The one that God cast out. The one that God already has. God the Father, we know, somewhere has a calendar and says this is his end date. We talk about the calendar for the rapture that God knows, yes, he does. But what that means is the devil's 1 week closer to that gate, that last gate shutting when he is let loose no more. I'm a week closer to heaven, and he's a week closer to being shut up for eternity. David said, what's the problem here? David said, what are you doing here? Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? He didn't say, what's going to happen to the man that has a lucky shot? What happens to the man that just happens to have a good day? He said, what happens to the man that's going to kill this Philistine? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, David saw a young man, but a live relationship with God. David saw what no one else saw that day. What Saul could not see and what the armies could not see. They had measured his outside. They measured his shield. They measured his voice. And they trembled. But David saw what nobody else saw. That's just an uncircumcised Philistine. He's just a man. It's just flesh and blood. I don't care how little. I don't care how tall. He's an enemy of my God. And my God has slain all of my enemies. You won't win until you can see your enemy. Ask our commanders in Washington. Ask my commanders in Afghanistan. You let them identify the enemy, they can defeat them. Yeah. Talk to a young man. I worked with him. He served in Afghanistan. He served there and came back home. My boss's son served there a little while, and one of his company that he serves with was there one day, and one of the Afghans turned their rifle on the Americans, shot several, didn't kill anything, thank God, that day. But he said from then on, we had an unwritten rule. When we went out on patrol, one man had one job, keep a rifle on that Afghan. That was his sole job. If he scratched the wrong way, shoot him. That was the unwritten official rule. Because I know what uniform he's got on, but I don't know what's in his heart. What's in your heart today? Here we're sitting here on Sunday morning. I don't care what we're dressed like on the outside. What's in your heart today? Are you going to be the one that falls to your knees when your neighbor is attacked by the enemy? When the enemy comes in like a flood against your friend and your neighbor? Are you going to be the one that will go to your prayer closet at home and intercede for them? Or are you just going to let it go by? Those unconcerned friends. Those unconcerned. Hey, that company of men there in Afghanistan, they say, hey, we're brothers here. We're on the same army here. And we got to survive. That man may or may not be our friend, but I'm telling you what, I'm going to do my best to make sure we're all going to come home tonight. I'm going to keep my eye on that which may destroy me. You better keep your eye on things until you're sure about it through the Spirit of an Almighty God. Your decisions, the things that talk about that which the enemy wants to come in and confuse you. And finding sometimes our flesh will say, I just got to do something, so this is what I'm going to do. And we go and do it. And there goes God having to chase us down, pull us out of a ditch again, because we would not stand on what we really know and say, I will wait for the voice of my God. An uncircumcised Philistine, he's just an enemy of God. It's what happens when young Christians get on fire many times. They're ready to preach. They're ready. I know there's learning. I know there's seed. I understand that. But so many times, young people be on fire, wanting to do something from God. And some old crusty Christian will put their arm around and say, yeah, I know you're excited now, son. And that's all a good thing, but you've got to understand what's real. And every once in a while, the reply should be back, I know what's real. And see, sometimes the older may say, hey, there's caution and there's dangers out there. And you got to be careful. But they're never wanting to say what's real is a God that calls you and a hand that directs you. Oh, God. That's what happened to David that day. His rebuke, he said, you're here. You're just a simple little lad. You don't know about what we're trying to do here. He arrived with the Spirit of God fresh and overflowing in his life. Hey, those that are half-baked don't understand that. Those that have lost their zeal and have lost their drive and forgot what victory feels like, hey, they don't understand the zeal. They don't understand it. When the Lord comes in and the Holy Ghost drives you and you got a fervency and a zeal and a direction, and they're saying, no, you better wait a little bit. No, I got to listen to the God that saved me. I've got a relationship close enough to Him. I've got victories right behind me. And I know what He can do for me today. And I know what He can do for me tomorrow. Saul said, go, but take what I have. Well, David, a respectful young man, tried it for a while, put on the armor and said, no, this ain't for me. So this may have worked for you and this may be what you need, but I've got to listen. I've got to follow my God. I remember the shepherd's field. I remember when the enemy came to me, when that lion came to me, no one handed me a shield. No one handed me a sword. No one gave me any armor. Just the Spirit of my Lord strengthened my own hands, strengthened me, and I was able to be an overcomer. Hey, it's like I said, I'll reiterate, it's good to have those around you, but you've got to be in a place and say, those are good and I want you and I need you. But there's got to be a place where you can find God and know Him for yourself. You won't survive under the shelter. I feel like saying this again. You won't survive under the shelter of mom and dad. You can't live your Christian life there. You can't survive in the shadow of this church. Because the enemy knows that you're going to be alone. The enemy knows he's waiting to meet you. And God has got to be in you. We can't put Him on Sundays and take Him off on Monday mornings and expect to arrive in midweek service full of God. Your enemy knows you well. He has a description, yes, but we've got to not forget the description of an almighty God. Who's standing in front of you today? Whose voice are you hearing today? What voice has been resounding in your spirit the last little while? Now I'm in somebody's heart. You've heard it. You've fought it. You know it's not right, but it's there day and night. That beckoning of the enemy and your flesh to turn away and satisfy your own desire. Day after day. Well, here to tell you this morning, you better look past the volume and understand that He is your defeated enemy. And if you want to survive, you better stir up that which is alive. You better stir up in your mind and in your spirit that there is a God that I've got to run to. Too many times we get close enough to the world where the voice of that world overrides the voice of God. And if that's where you're at today, you better leave this house today running back to the voice of God, shedding the voice and the things and the closeness of this world. And you better let the voice of God be your direction. You better let the Word of God allow to take the reins of your mind and your heart again. Don't care who you are. Don't care how young you are. Don't care if you're recognized as someone here that's more spiritual or can barely pray. I don't care who you are today. And God doesn't care your position. He wants your heart. He wants your faith. He wants your belief. He wants your cry turning up to His ears. The enemy that has come, he will be defeated if your cry will reach up unto heaven. He will not leave you. Everybody in here got a victory? Everybody in here remember something that you could not do and you knew it was the hand of God? Everybody been here to the place where you felt like you really had been past the point of what you could do, and then God rushed in. And then there was a service, or then there was a visitation in your car, or in your house, or at an altar somewhere, and you knew it was God. I want to tell you today, God hasn't died. He's not on vacation. He hasn't missed your problem. He hasn't missed that voice. It's coming back to you again today. But there needs to be that new zeal. There needs to be that young spirit rise up again and say, I know my God. I know who He is. I know who He still is. And I'm going to lean on that arm alone. Oh God, help me today. Oh God. Then said David to the Philistine, come, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You don't know me. I haven't met you before, but I know a God that knows you. I know a God that has walked with me, that has touched me, that has visited with me. And He's my ally today. Now look around me. Look around me, Goliath. The armies are still on the hill. Saul's still on the hill. I may be little in your eyes, but there's a God that's right beside me. And I'm calling on that name today. You don't know Him now, but you're going to feel Him in a little while. That should be our spirit today. Devil, you know who God is. You know what it felt like when He lifted you up and casted you out of heaven. And today, I'm calling on that same God to cast you out of my mind, to cast that thought, to cast that desire, and to draw out of my spirit. I'm going back to the same God again. Oh. God has not changed. Oh, the God of our youth. The youth of our salvation is still alive today. Hallelujah. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Smite thee, take thine head from thee. I'm not going to chase you back home to come back again, Goliath. I'm not going to scare you off of this field. I am telling you, I am taking your head off of your shoulders and you are finished. They'll hear that voice no more. They'll hear that cry no more. They'll see that shield lifted up against them no more. There's a day coming. Hey church, hey Christian, where's your resolve to end it? Where's your resolve to face that enemy? You have no need to fear him. You have no need to wilt in front of him. You're serving a God that's alive. Where's that resolve today? I'm not playing with you. This is my mind. This is my heart. This is my life. And it's my eternity. And I will decide to spend it with the God that died for me. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord. Not in my name, but in the name that has never failed. Whew. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, For the battle is the Lord, and He will give you into our hands. We're not in a corner, Goliath. You called me out into a valley to make a spectacle of me. I'm calling you out to make a spectacle of you. Because I'm serving a living God. And every army member, everybody's going to see it when you fall. And they're going to know it wasn't this little boy. Hey, what your people, what your friends, what your family, what those that need a witness to you need to know. It's not of your strength. It's not of your determination. It's of the God that you serve. Answered prayer. I know God looks at us in our diligence, but we can't answer prayer. Many times we've heard our Africa work, the Holy Ghost has given us many messages, interpretations. And over and over and over again, He has told us what I will allow you to do, what you will do. But then He says, I must get all of the glory. It will be me. I will use man, but it'll be me that they will hear. It'll be me that they will see. And that's what we've got to get to, church. It can't be us. It can't be me that was smarter than the enemy. No, that's never been happened. That has never occurred. I have never been smarter than the devil. And I never will be. I've got to have His hand. Every day, every battle, every decision. It's got to be by His hand. And the assembly will see that He gets the glory. Hallelujah. Could have jumped down here and tried to finish this up this morning. Verse 50, we know about the stones. We know about the sling. We know, some people preach this and I've read it. And, they say, well, God knew where He had a weak spot. I don't think He had a weak spot. God can make a weak spot in the enemy wherever He wants to. He could have hit him in the pinky and God could have taken him down. He could have hit him anywhere because it's God that took the life out of him. It wasn't the stone. It was the faith that was behind the stone. It was the power that was behind the stone. It was sure. Goliath was dead when David had that stone in his hand. It was just a matter of time because his faith was full. He didn't have to wait to see what happened. He already knew what was going to happen that day. Prevailed on the Philistine with his sling and stone, smote him, slew him. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, threw it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Oh. Got to remember back 40 days. 40 days they had been there. 40 days the armies of Israel had been there. And the men of Israel, in verse 52, and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shurim, and unto Gath, and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. Hey, your single victory could ignite a fire. Your single victory could stir up an army and make them realize again that their God hasn't died. That man may have fallen, but there's still a God. There's still a God. There's still victory. One man and one faith arose, God, the strength of an army that day. They spoiled the enemy, and all that they left behind became the blessings of the army of Israel. Someone come to the piano this morning. Oh God. I know this is simple. And I believe me. But I know that there's a reason God would not let me. Felt His anointing here today. He is here. I can't do one thing for you, but I can point you to a destination that you've got to get to. Come back down here and say this again today. Somebody has gotten close enough or allowed the devil too much opportunity to attack your spirit. You've been there day after day, and you've almost gotten to a place where this is just how it's going to be. You've allowed the devil to tell you you're not going to experience that joy and freedom anymore. Remember what it felt like when you got up or wherever you got saved from? Remember that day? What'd you feel like? Clean sheet. Power. Joy. Nothing is going to stop me from serving my God. Because I remember what He just did for me. He just saved me. He just cleansed me. He just took away. I've heard people say, I wrestled with cigarettes right with others. And I came with determination. And God delivered me that night. And I felt so free and clean. I didn't want any of those things anymore. Sitting here this morning, the devil's trying to tell you, you can't get there anymore. And because you haven't last week, or the week before, he's driving you to the place where you're going to believe, I can't feel that anymore. But I want to tell you this morning, not me, not my words, the Lord. He wants to stir your resolve today. He wants, don't want to hear the weeping of, oh God, look where I am. He doesn't want to hear that today. He wants you to recognize where He is. Forget about where you are. How about remembering where God is? Oh, there's an ivory throne. Woo! Oh, there's a glassy sea that He is surrounded by. There's no limits to our God today. And He is ruling and He is reigning. And this Sunday morning, there's an ear inclined to hear a cry. He's not waiting until He's able. He's waiting for the cry. He has a hand that's big enough to cast Him out of your mind again. He has a hand that is big enough to stir up a new day of victory in your soul again. But what He's wanting, I'm telling you, what He's wanting today is a shout, is a cry that you're my God and I need you. And I believe you today. You may have ridden the devil to church, but you can put him out of your car right now. You may have brought him on your shoulders and on your back here this morning, but you can put him off of your back today. Oh, Spirit of God.